Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I wish that I could feel as confident as the sister that sang that song just a minute ago. Her help came up and she waved them off. Amen. Amen. I need all the help I can get. Amen. I need every bit I can get. Praise God. It is good to be here around God's people. Amen. How many's enjoying what you've been hearing? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I am enjoying all the preaching. Amen. Somebody asked me how I was doing. I told them I'd be do better about 2 o'clock. Amen. But I love the Lord. Amen. I'm used to preaching at home. I don't preach off. Amen. This because I'm no around home. I'm around friends. I trust today I'm around friends here. Amen. Sometimes friends will back you. Amen. When nobody else will. I don't like to get in places where they're critical. Where they critique you. Amen. I pray if you have a critical and a critiquing spirit. Amen. You use the restroom right now. And give me about a 2-hour break. Amen. Because I like people to get with me. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. I've waited a while. I learned something last night. There's a little thing I got to add to my hand. How did he do that? He went, where's Brother Meade at? Brother Meade did that. He went, I ain't got it down yet. But if I happen to get going after a while, what I want to do is reach over here and find the place he did. I'll go. Amen. Is anybody going to help me preach today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I so much would like to be, amen, or do like Brother Picklesheimer. Brother Picklesheimer, if you'll notice, amen, he just took aim very easy, and he just pop, he hit dead eye. Brother Padgett's right. A lot of times I just take a shotgun and shoot it. Amen. I'm going to do my best to pick up some of these good traits and maybe do a little aiming today, if the Lord will help me. Amen. But most of the time you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. So I'm going to do the best I can do. It's good to have some of our church family here with us, and to them I say thank you. My wife and my family here today. Isn't God good to us? Why don't we just lift our hands right now and love Him, ask Him to help us today. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you. I praise you and I bless you today. God, you're so good. I am so glad for your people. I'm so glad for truth. So glad for your love and your mercy and your grace today. Oh, God, 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 I praise you today. Help us here. Put your hand on us and help us here. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Out of the book of 1 Kings chapter 12, I want to read a portion of scripture. I was in a motel here coming down, and I was sitting in there early in the morning while they at the Continental Breakfast getting me just a little bit of fruit to eat, and there was a lady standing there. Two ladies was talking, two elderly ladies, and they made a comment concerning their likes and dislikes. Amen. Basically, what they said, my husband likes this because he will not tolerate this, and it was had a little bit to do with what I was preaching. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And then Brother Picklesheimer got up here and preaching in some areas, and he helped me, and I thank him for that. I enjoyed that today, didn't you? Thank you, Brother Picklesheimer. 25th verse of the 12th chapter. Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall all the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is, notice this now, he made two calves of gold. And then he said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. It's too much for you to do. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Now, I want to stop right there for just a moment and tell you that's a lie. Amen. I said that is a... He was declaring a lie to them. Amen. It was the God, not golden calves. It was the God that brought them up out of Egypt. Tell somebody, it was the Almighty God. He said, "Behold, thy gods." Okay? Made them two calves. "O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and he put the other, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin. For the people went to worship before one, even unto Dan, and he made a house of high places, and made priest of the lower of the people. He made priest of the lower of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Notice now, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast. It wasn't the feast in Jerusalem. It just was like unto it. It looked like it. Just like unto it. And he offered upon the altar. And so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he made. And so he offered upon the altar which he made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Turn to your neighbor and say, "That's just too much flesh." Amen. Too much flesh. Well, praise God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time before we're seated. God, I love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I love you today. God, I love you. Praise God, praise God. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach for just a little bit today on this subject. There is no substitute for the real thing. Tell somebody near you, there is no substitute for the real thing. I looked around and I thought of the predicament that Moses was in when God spoke to him, and Moses found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And basically, what it amounted to was, in all of the situations, and knowing humanity, I'm sure that there was other types of beliefs and other types of philosophies and other types of religions even in that hour, because man's going to have some kind of religion. But in all of this mess that was around him, this man got a hold of God. And he found himself and his family in the ark. Saved from destruction. I read in the scripture that when chaos and confusion and troublesome times and all of this and ideas and philosophies and everything that goes with it, it said that Rahab got her because she made them give her a promise. And she hung on to the promise. And she hung that red cord out that window. And there are all the philosophies and ideas and thoughts that was in the air. Didn't make no difference to her. She said, I'm going to get my family in the house. And I'm going to be there with my family when all this destruction hits. Because I want to be saved and I want my family saved. I don't know about you today, but in all of this religious mess we're in, and all this ups and downs and this and that, and chaos, when the time gets here, brother, and I don't know about you, but I want my family to be in the rapture. Amen. I want the church to be saved. I want to be saved. Anybody want to be saved in all of this? Amen. I want revival. I looked at it and I realized that there's God's going to have him a church. I just want to be in that church. I want to have revival. I want to have a move of God. I want to have a holy church. Amen. I want to have a church that loves God. And so, but today in my preaching now, what I'm going to preach on is there is no substitute for the real thing. Amen. Maybe I need to just address it to some younger people in here today. Most people, can I tell you I'm setting in my ways? What I'm going to preach about today ain't no, there's nothing, there's no doubt and no, I'm like, I know when, every night I'm going to have my Metamucil. You can have Coke, you can have coffee, you can have water, but when it comes dark, I'm going to go for my Metamucil. That's it. Amen. Some people ain't set in their ways. They just anything. Give me Coke. Give me that. No, not at night. What I'm going to preach today, amen. I know some of you elders in here, you're set in your way. Thank God. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Ain't nobody going to move you. But I'm going to preach to an upcoming generation that ain't sure what's right sometimes and ain't sure what's wrong sometimes. I want to preach to somebody here to tell you there is no substitute for the real thing. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, no one, I don't care who you are, no one likes to be duped. There is something in us. We don't like to be deceived. We don't like to be tricked. We don't like to be misled. Sometimes there's something that just upsets me when somebody pulls something or misleads me or deceives me. There's a saying, an old saying, and I'm old enough to say an old saying. Amen. I turned 60 last month. I know I don't look it, but I am. But they used to have a saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. How many of you old timers ever heard that? Brother, come on now. That had a meaning to it. Because you see, he said, the horse is free, don't look him in the mouth. But if you're going to buy that horse, and if it's the horse you're going to plow with and ride with and stay with, he said, when you get that horse, you look in his mouth. Hey, you can tell a whole, y'all young people don't know what I'm talking about, but these old men know what I'm talking about. You can look a gift horse, you can look a horse in the mouth, not a gift horse, but a horse in the mouth. You can tell his age, and you can tell his physical condition by whatever his mouth looks like. Amen. Just look him in the mouth. Amen. You can tell it. Because what you, when reading you did that, you didn't want to get home and find out your horse, something's wrong with your horse. You'd bought a horse and the horse wasn't worth shooting. You paid good money for a horse, so he said, check it out. Oh, that goes on modern days. You know what happens now? You go buy a new car. You can take a woman, she gets in and go, oh, not a man. That man walk around them tires, you go, mm-hmm. He'll raise that hood. He's looking at horse's mouth. He wants to know what's under there. He wants to know whether it's oil on it, trash on it, problems on it. What's wrong with this car? He'll even get out on the floor and look up under that dude. Why do you want to know? Because I want to know. I ain't going to get home and have myself a lemon on my hand. Nobody likes to be duped. Nobody likes to be deceived. Nobody likes to get going and find out you got something that you ain't bargained for. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen. Don't bait me and switch me. You got an advertisement up there that said this and thus and this and that about it. I don't want to get home and unwrap my package and find out, hey, this ain't what it says it is. This is something else than what you're advertising up there. Amen. I get it in my hand, go back and say, this ain't what I bought. This ain't what I paid for. Amen. Nobody likes to be duped. I remember on a farm. Amen. I was raised on a farm, and I can remember. You go out on a farm when you ate food. It was generally farm food. And I can remember going out and my mom, some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but some of y'all do. And go out and, I can remember my mom used to go out and wring them chickens' necks. I used to love to see that. Them chickens flop around all over the place. Amen. But when you got that chicken, Brother Bass, that was real chicken. Amen. That was real chicken when you got that real chicken. Amen. We're talking about, it's amazing, when you, I even so far back, I mean, how many remembers Oleo margarine? Remember when they used to take that packet of grease, little capsule in there, how'd they do it, brother? He's old, almost probably as older than me. How many of y'all out there remember Oleo margarine? Very few. But that was my first vision or first little insight, amen, of synthetic or substitute or artificial food. When we got butter, it came from Aunt Chrissy's. Amen. I go to a Cracker Barrel, I say, you see that old creamer up there? That old separator? Remember the old separator? Amen. What come out of that separator was the real thing, honey. And you can make real butter. Oh yeah, you make real butter. It's amazing. And I thought of that. There was a man went to my church one time and he owned some chicken farms. And they give them the Cargill and all these chicken producers that you buy at Winn-Dixie and you buy at Walmart and you buy these places. They give them growth hormones. They take a little chicken, a little bitty in there, and in like 6 weeks' time, I think it is, they feed them growth hormones until what happens is they grow so fast that their hearts explode, their breasts explode, their hides explode, because they are feeding them hormones that just simply just positively blow them up. Can I tell you, when you buy chicken at the chicken store now, you buy half chicken and half hormone. And somebody said, why in the world are little 10-year-old girls growing up like they're growing up and being so much adult? I'll tell you why. Amen. They're so saturated with substitute foods that when they eat them, amen, it's causing problems in our youth. Well, hallelujah. Now, let me read you a little article. Two scoops of antifreeze, life's killer with chocolate sauce. Said, have you ever thought about what you're putting in your mouth when you eat the delicious ice cream sundae? Never mind the calories or the fat grams. We're talking about some serious ingredients. For example, today's commercial ice cream usually substitutes, I can't even pronounce this, dimethyl glycol instead of eggs, a chemical that is also used in antifreeze and paint remover. Most of the time, piperaldinol is substituted for vanilla. That is also used in large quantities to kill lice. And then when you top off that sundae with strawberry flavor, remember that you're probably ingesting benzoyl acetate, a chemical that is used as a solvent for nitrate and one of the main ingredients in fertilizer and cheap explosives. Honey, I almost swore off of ice cream. Amen. I'm afraid somehow I'd eat some and blow up. Oh, yeah. Somebody said, oh, I didn't know that was there. No. But I'm telling you, the food industry knows it's there, and they are duping humanity. Well, hallelujah. Now, well, praise God. They're duping them. Tell somebody you're just duping them. I mean, I just wrote down some of these. The article I read said there's 1,300 different additives that they put in the food that we eat. Amen. Now, I'm not going to even try to pronounce these. But some of you, amen, some of you in here, you're familiar with them. But what I noticed was all of these additives that they said they can put in here, what it causes is cancer, visual disorders, nerve damage. This word, carcinogenic, I guess that's cancer causing, associated with health problems, may cause brain damage, cause liver and kidney damage, weaken immune system, birth defects, cancer linked to major organ system damage, birth defects may cause damage, amen, associated with heart disease, colon cancer, one is neotane is similar to aspartame, amen, it's more, and it's potently more toxic. It's from powerful causing, cancer causing agents in stomach, can cause death, can cause nervous system, amen, kidney disorders, can cause cancer, as cause death, amen. Can I tell you, understand me, the food industry is duping humanity. That's why we have people so sick. It ain't real food that's killing people. Real food in moderation ain't gonna hurt you, honey. But it's this stuff that they're putting in here that absolutely is killing humanity. It is not. You get that. Now notice now, you get a little, you probably got in your own refrigerator. Amen. I cannot believe it's not butter. In studying this, I read the ingredients. Honey, it ain't butter. I got down a Land O'Lakes butter thing and it said ingredients, butter. I got down, I can't believe it's not butter, and it had benzosol, sensical, menacol, and all kinds of col in it. I said, don't want, that's what that old woman up there, she said, my husband don't like that margarine stuff. He wants real butter. Oh, God, 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 we need a people that's hungry. We need a people that's hungry for some real thing. Not a substitute, amen, not an artificial, amen, not something that they dreamed up, but just something that's just real. Hallelujah. Now, God is interested in real things. He don't need no man-made substitutes. In the garden, when man messed up, they come along and they said, hey, we got an idea. We're going to put a fig leaf on us. But the Bible said, we're going to put something in here to do the job. And God come along and said, I don't want your substitute. I don't even like what you got down there. He said, if you're going to get this sin that you committed, if you're going to get it covered, you're going to have some blood here. It's going to be a death of an animal. You can put this substitute in here, but I ain't taking it. Well, hallelujah, I ain't taking it, he said. He came along to their children and one offered a lamb, one offered all the fruits, and God said he had no desire in Cain's offering. He said, I want Abel's offering. Somebody said, why not just pick them both? No, God said, I'm particular in this. I don't want no substitute. I want the real thing. Amen. Praise God. Now, when he got down and Abraham and Sarah was promised a child, and then time went by and they got a little anxious and they got a little worried and they decided we're going to take it into our own hands, so to speak, and we're going to do our own thing. And they come along and out of this frustration was born Ishmael. And they said, surely God will use Ishmael. And God said, I don't want no Ishmael. Don't give me no Ishmael. He said, I'm choosing. He ain't the real thing. And he ain't got the promise on him. He ain't the one that's got it going. Now, amen, don't give me no Ishmael. If you're going to give me anything, give me an Isaac. I want Isaac. I don't want Ishmael. Amen. When he built the ark, he said, I want it a certain way. When he built the oil of the apothecary, he said, I want it a certain way. Amen. When he put the tabernacle in place, he said, I want it a certain way. Somebody come along and said, why don't we just change the color? No, you can't change the color because God said, that's the color I want. Yeah. That's the length I want. That's how many doors I want in it. That's how many windows I want in it. That's how I want you to enter into this tabernacle. Somebody said, I got ideas. I got concepts. God ain't interested in my ideas and your ideas. All God wants to know, Edmund, are you going to obey what He said? Oh, hallelujah. Why he said, when you get out of Egypt, I want the sacrifice right. I want it locked up for so many days. I want the blood certain places on there. Amen. Because if you don't do it that way, the death angel's going to get you. So get it right. Brother, read me a scripture. I want you to read me 1 Peter 2 and 9.
But ye are a chosen generation.
Ye are present tense, positive, right now, today, you are a chosen generation. Read.
A royal priesthood.
A royal priesthood.
A holy nation.
A holy nation.
A peculiar
people. A peculiar people. Set apart. Called apart. Nobody, you ain't for nobody but God. He said, that's what, I want you to be a peculiar people. That is what? Read. Come on.
Ye should show forth the praises.
That ye should show forth the praises.
Of him who hath called you out.
Of him who has called you out of darkness.
Into his marvelous light.
Into his marvelous light. God don't want no slipshod church. Amen. He's wanting people to realize they've been called out of darkness. Oh, hallelujah. To show forth praises unto him. Well, glory. So I noticed this. I mean, you may be seated. Now watch. Now Jeroboam. Jeroboam duped God's people. What he basically did, he just tricked them. He misled them. He deceived them. Man, now you got to understand. Read, I know this. And I want you to read so we get an understanding. Because, amen. Look at Second Chronicles for me, chapter 3, and read.
And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord.
Now he said, now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord. Read.
In the hand of the sons of David.
Uh-huh.
And ye be a great multitude.
Yeah, you're a great multitude.
And there are with you golden calves.
And there are with you your golden calves.
Which Jeroboam made for you gods.
Yeah. He made them for you as gods. Read.
Have you not cast out the priests of the Lord?
He said, what you've done, he said, Jeroboam, you've cast out the priests of the Lord. Read.
The sons of Aaron and the Levites.
You've cast out the sons of Aaron and the Levites. Read.
And have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands.
And you made yourself priest after the manner of the nations or other lands all around you. Read.
So that whomsoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock.
Yeah, whoever enters into this place of worship.
And seven rams. The same may be a priest.
And the same may be a priest. Thank you, Brother Picklesheimer. Amen. My. He said, all you got to do is just come in. And then all of a sudden, if you want to be a priest, you want to be whatever, you can be it. Read the rest of it.
The same may be a priest of them that are no gods.
That are of no gods. Read.
But as for us, the Lord is our God.
But as for us... He said, you over there in Dan, and you over there in Bethel, and you over there with them false priests. He said, but as for us that are from Jerusalem, we want to put a distinction between us and you. Amen. We want to, but as for us, read.
The Lord is our God.
The Lord, He is our God.
And we have not forsaken Him.
And we have not forsaken Him.
And the priests which minister unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
Are the sons of Aaron.
They are the sons of Aaron.
And the Levites wait upon their business.
And the Levites, amen, these real priests, amen, had a real altar. And real Levites just wait on the altar. Amen. What he's saying is, hey, you a bunch of phonies, but we are the real. Read.
And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices.
Yeah.
And sweet incense.
Uh-huh.
And shewbread also set they in order upon the pure table. And the candlestick of the Lord with the lamps thereof to burn every evening.
Yeah.
For we keep the charge of the Lord our God.
For we keep the charge of the Lord our God. Is that it?
But ye have forsaken him.
But you have forsaken him. What he did in this scripture, he just said one of us is real and one of us is phony. One of us has got the goods and one of us don't. You may look like you got the goods, Jeroboam, but you don't have the goods. You may have an altar that looks like the altar, and you may have a worship that looks like the worship, but it ain't worship. Hey, you may say hallelujah like everybody else, but your hallelujah is not to the real God. Your hallelujah is to false gods and idols and everything that pertains to the flesh. But he said, as for us, we are doing it still to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now you may be seated now. So what he's saying, he said, Jerusalem, that's where it's at. And all that pertained to Jerusalem, which dealt with all the altars, and it dealt with all the sacrifice and all the rituals that they went through. They said, this is real. And it covered the whole thing. He said, every bit of this, amen, the real house of God, he's saying, is in Jerusalem. Now, he said, what you've done, he said, you've made a feast that's like unto the feast of Judah are in Jerusalem. But he said, it's not the, just looks like the real, but it's not the real. Now, let me explain to you. We've read in the scripture over and over and over. Thus is the sin of Jeroboam. Thus is the sin of Jeroboam. Thus they sin the sin that Jeroboam sinned. Somebody asked, what is the sin of Jeroboam? Amen. Did a little study on that. And what I come up with, probably the key number one issue, amen, the sin of Jeroboam was the sin of heresy. Now, let me explain to you what heresy, or the sin of heresy. It is the selection of doctrines or practices contrary to those chosen of God. One that you have modified or adapted to suit yourself. He said, that's what you've done. He said, God called Jerusalem. If you read in the 9th chapter, just preceding the 12th chapter, he said, this is where the Lord said, I'm going to put my name and it shall remain. And he said, what you have done, you have come along and you selected some doctrines or teaching or practices contrary to what that has been chosen of God. And you've adapted them. And you've changed them to suit yourself. Amen. So it's a sin of heresy. And then he said to him, you have put golden calves. You put golden calves in there, and you've mixed a little world, a little paganism with this. You put a little world in this. You mix a little, you sit up there and go, oh, God. But he said, you're kind of doing it through the avenue or the means of the golden calves. So you mixed a little bit with it. Then the question was asked, and how could the people go so easily, the 10 tribes go so easily from a night chapter Jehovah that you couldn't even minister in the place to a relationship with golden calves? How could the people go that far so quick? And the answer was, the golden calves demanded nothing of the people. They could go where they wanted, do what they wanted, say what they wanted, No condemnation. They was mute on the issue. Just whatever your little heart desired. And I'm going to tell you, honey, if you give people the choice of which way they're going to go, the flesh will overcome. And they'll go flesh every time. They'll go flesh every time when they get to the place. He said, they don't know demands on you. Just no demands on you. Live any way you want, talk any way you want, go any way you want, and do anything you want. You may be seated now. Now, then he said, it's too much. Too much. Too much. Oh, I've heard that. I get so sick and tired of that, but I ain't going to get on that. Not yet. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. The old way, it's a hard way. He said, what we want to do is make it convenient for you. We don't want to ruffle no feathers. We don't want to give you any. I mean, we don't even want you to break a sweat. We want you to feel comfortable. Just come around and just you can come in here and there's just no pressure. Just we're going to make it easy on you. And we're just going to please you as much as we can please you. And the people there said, amen. Because it was really too hard to go up to Jerusalem. And this way is so much easier. Then you read a little bit further. I'm just paraphrasing some of this stuff. Then you read a little bit further and you find out that Jerusalem was the place. And he moved it from Jerusalem down to Dan and Bethel. That's what he did. So basically what he did, God come along and said, I'm going to set me a landmark in Jerusalem, and that's where my name's going. He come along and grabbed that landmark and started chugging it and said, it ain't going to stay there. We're going to pull that landmark down to Dan. We're going to pull that landmark all the way down to Bethel. And that way, we're just going to move it. Let me explain something to you. I remember a few years back, amen, the state of Illinois, where I was born and raised, and a great place to be from. Amen. From. That's right. Great place to be from. But there was some confusion. They noticed that when the surveyors come through the land, there was about a 75-foot difference. You buy a piece of property, one surveyor come along and say, it's here. You go get another surveyor and he say, it's here. And so they said, we got to settle this thing. So one of my brothers, I ain't going to tell you which one, but one of my brothers run a construction company. And what he did was they hired him. And he went down and they said, we've got to find the principal meridian. Not the prime meridian, but the principal meridian. Because everything in this state is laid off of that rock. Everything in this state is laid off of that rock. Because we're getting a variation out there. And they dug it up. And they found the rock. And they lined it up. And they've realized that somebody else in the period of time since whatever, 1800 and some, had set another rock. And people was operating off of that rock. My brother sold a piece of ground. And he said, what's going to happen? He said, choose whichever one you want to choose. You can go this way or that way. Which one you want? He said, but what's going to happen in the end when this all comes down to build a shopping center? He said, I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going back to the original rock. And that's what's going to decide it. Can I tell you? Dan is not the landmark. Bethel is not the landmark. Jerusalem is the landmark. Jerusalem is the landmark. And the Bible said, remove not the landmarks. So he moved the landmarks. And then the dude comes along and he chooses priests that are not called by God. And he chooses them of the Lord. He chooses him a bunch of wimps. Ain't got no backbone. Bunch of hirelings. Here's somebody to say what he wanted them to say. I mean, what he told them to say. What he wanted them to say. So he said, I'm going to pick them of the Lord. Because he knew if he got a fireball, the fireball would be probably not agreeing with him. So he said, I'm going to pick some old wimp. I mean, I'm going to pick me somebody in there. And he said, I'm going to get, and the people he chose was not chosen of God. Now you got to understand this right here. Amen. When you're not chosen of God, then you don't feel responsible to God. Are you with me now? I said, when you're not chosen of God, because honey, when you're chosen of God, amen, you don't get up and preach, you don't get up and move, you don't get up and counsel, you don't get up and do nothing until you go to your knees and say, God, what do you want me to do with this brother? Or what do you want me to say? He chose people who were not chosen of God, who were not responsible for God, and they became, these priests became men pleasers. Puppets in the hand of Jeroboam. They had no voice and they had no authority. Amen. And the Bible said, and this thing became a sin. This substitution of priest, substitution of altar, substitution of gods, substitution of worship, substitution of landmark. Amen. This became a sin. Everybody say, it became a sin. Here's where a lot of us differ. Some people say it is just another point of view. It is just how we look at it. It's just what your convictions are and how you feel about it, or just what you think about it. Amen. He said, let me tell you, when you get into heresy and it is doctrines and beliefs and actions that are contrary to what God set down, amen, it is not just your opinion. It is heresy. It is a sin. I'm preaching today, the real thing is the way. Any substitute, be it whatever, is a sin. Tell somebody, well, hallelujah, I got some of you with me, but I'm telling you, it is a sin. S-I-N. Sin. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, it's sin. Well, praise God. Now, okay, I'm ready to preach. Now to get changed. Elder, get your Bible with you. Pull me Acts 2:38, if you don't mind. You can probably quote it without any problem at all. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. Every one of you. Thank you. Everyone. He knows how to read. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Honey, that's the real thing. That's where it's at, honey. You want to know what to build off of? You want to build a church? You build it on that. Build it on that. You want to preach a message? Amen. Preach it on that. You may be seated. I got three families I've been working with in the last 3 weeks. Family called. Said, we want to find a church. We want to find church. Amen. We want a church where we can go to. He said, my son said, well, we want a friendly church. We want a church where they worship. My son said, well, you can do that. We got a good church. Come on. They had undoubtedly called a bunch of churches. But old Tim, he was kind of, we want revival so bad, he said, I'm going to call them back. And so he called them back. And they said, we'll be there. They come and told us. They said, of all the churches we called, your church was the only one that called back. They come in that night. Honey messed up. Life messed up. Her hair, blonde, bleached blonde. He had a long hair, mustache, beard. I think four little old kids. Walked in that service that night. And all of a sudden, the real thing started getting on them. I looked back there. Hands started quivering. Hand went up. Tears went down. Oh! And in a matter of just that quick, God come down and that old girl started to talk in tongues. Oh! He would lay back on his back. Huh? And then Tuesday come prayer service. We praying on Tuesday and I walk in and there was a new couple walk in. And I said, hey y'all, glad to have you. I said, hold on. I said, what happened? From the time that God touched them to the time they come back to prayer meeting, that old boy went and got him a haircut. That old boy went and shaved off his beard, shaved off his mustache. They said, what happened to you? Wife went and said, I ain't leaving this hair the way it is. She been got it. She said, I want the close to my original colors I can get it because I don't want that stuff on my head. And I said, so what happened to you? She said, we want to live for God. Some substitute ain't going to do them no good. It's going to take the real thing. Said, have you got them in the water yet? No, no, no. But I'm telling you what, I ain't preaching on love and fellowship or whatever. I'm preaching on you got to get baptized in. Only the real thing will help them, Brother Bass. Only the real thing will change their life. Their life was upside down. Only the real thing will bring them through the birth canal and get them birthed into this gospel. Amen. You may be seated. Got another family. Now, I don't generally get up when people come to church. Amen. Contrary to some of y'all's beliefs, amen, I'm probably the easiest, the best, gentlest little pastor you ever seen. I leave my chainsaw at home. I really am, brother. Amen. Yeah, I lay down. Sometimes they walk over me like a rug. Now, I generally don't tell people. Really, I don't. I don't. I'm serious. And brother, know what I'm talking about. Am I right, brother? Amen. Am I right, brother? You going to read for me or you going to sit down? So this woman and her family comes in and stays with her family. And she's smoking cigarettes. And she's wanting to come to church. So I told her, she said, I want to come to church. And she ain't been there but like three services. But her family is there and she wants her kid to go to our Christian school. And she said, but I want my kid in this Christian school. I said, now listen, Sister Carrie, I don't tell people this. I just give them time, let the real thing work on them. But when your kid come to my Christian school, you ain't gonna be smoking. Well, maybe it's a chainsaw habit. But you ain't gonna be smoking. I didn't give them time, Brother Hudson, but I tell her, you want that kid in that school, you ain't gonna be smoking. And you ain't going to be honky-tonking around. And so she said, I want my kid in school more than anything. So she takes the cigarettes and she pulls them out and she lays them down. Cold turkey. And 3 days later, she's like a bear. Come in from work snapping. Well, what's happening? Y'all know what I'm talking about. She's wanting a cigarette. She was mad. She was hurt. Nicotine was pulling her all around. She looked like she'd been pulled through just. And her sister had been praying for her. And so her sister just said, well, Carrie, I don't know what else to do for you except one thing. said, I'm going to pray for you. She went in there. And that old girl was in there. She was... She said, I rebuke you, nicotine spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of her. That old girl went, bleh, bleh, bleh. And she throwed up, and God give her deliverance. Nicotine out, though. Don't tell me the real thing don't work. Come on, it'll take a the real thing will take nicotine out of your life. It'll take dope out of your life. It'll take whatever out of it. Oh, some of y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. The real thing works. Now, so I'm preaching today. The real thing is repentance. Water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the infilling of the receiving of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking of the tongues as the Lord give the utterance. That's a real thing. Also, now, read me Ephesians 4.
There is one body.
One body.
And one spirit.
Hosea. Not two bodies. Not the 12 tribes of Pentecost. But one body. Because it comes from one place. One body.
One spirit. Even as you're called into one hope of your calling.
One hope of your calling. Read.
One Lord.
One faith.
One baptism. One God. And Father of all. Who is above all. And through all. And in you all.
Ain't two, ain't three, ain't four, ain't whatever they come up with, there ain't but one. And that's the real thing. Hallelujah. Now, I noticed in this Acts 2:38 message, and this verification, but there is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There comes a message also in Galatians 1:8. Read.
But though we are an angel from heaven.
Though we are an angel from heaven. Read.
Preach any other gospel.
Preach
unto you.
Any other gospel. What?
Unto you. Than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed.
Just say it's one of many. It's just your idea. He said, no. If he preaches anything else than what's preached in that book, let that turkey be accursed. He got the curse of God on him. He ain't got the blessing of God on him. Amen. Peter meant what he said when he said, this is that, not another. My Bible said, amen, the truth is what you ought to preach. And if anybody else preaches anything but what the word of the Lord said, he's cursed. Well, glory. Now, here we go. That's why I said I'm with friends. Friends will be with me. People ain't my friends to criticize me. Because I preach about a separated church. Oh, hallelujah. Am I my friend in here? I'm preaching about a separated church. Hallelujah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Read.
Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Don't get in the same hitch Don't get in the same hitch with any of those, what?
Unbelievers.
Read.
For what fellowship hath righteousness?
For what fellowship hath righteousness with?
With unrighteousness.
With unrighteousness.
And what communion?
Am I still in the book, brethren? Said, don't get near him. Don't. Come on now.
And what communion?
And what communion?
Hath light with darkness.
Hath light with darkness.
Amen.
Is that it?
And what concord hath Christ with
And what
Belial?
Concord hath Christ with Belial?
Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?
For ye are the temple of the living God.
Because you're the temple. You're the real thing. Read.
As God hath said.
As God hath said. As God hath said. Not me, not them, but as God hath said.
I will dwell in them.
I will dwell in them. You want to know where God's at? He's in Jerusalem. He's in the real church.
I will dwell in them and walk in them.
And walk in them.
I will be their God.
I will be their God.
And they shall be my people.
And they shall be my people.
Wherefore, come out among
them. Wherefore? Wherefore? Hey, that's got your attention, honey. Wherefore, come out from among them.
And be ye separate, saith the Lord.
And be ye separate, saith the Lord.
And touch not the unclean thing.
And touch not the unclean thing.
And I will receive you.
And I will receive you. Oh, somebody, clap your hands to the Lord. I got an answer. When you fellowship and people that ain't preaching a book, get away from them. I got an answer to people that don't believe in the new birth doctrine. Separate yourself and come out from among them. Woo. My. You may be seated. That last part didn't go over very good. But if you want to write, come out from among them. Because if you run with dogs, you'll get fleas. And if you run with unbelievers, you're going to be an unbeliever. Because as your friends are, so will you be. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give me somebody that preaches the book. Give me somebody that believes truth. Give me somebody that believes this new birth message. I don't want to run with infidels. Unbelievers. Amen. You may be seated. 1 Peter 1.
Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Uh-huh. Be ye holy, because I am holy. I'm just telling you what the real church is. I'm going to cover that in a minute. I ain't through yet. Chainsaw yet. Go. Okay. Be holy. He said, for who said that? The Lord said, for I am holy. Read Hebrews 12 and 14.
Follow peace with all men.
Try your best to get along best you can. But if you can't get along, what? Read.
Follow peace with all men and holiness.
And holiness.
Without which no man shall see the Lord.
Without holiness, you ain't going to see God. That's the real thing now. You hear me, young people? That's the real thing. Without holiness. Notice now, 1 John.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world.
If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
The love of the Father is not in him. So he's telling us here, basically, just don't love the world. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, that's the real thing. Now, I want you to get, I tell you what, just get me, no, hold on a second. Let me do this first. Then get me Jude, got Jude ready. Okay.